Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction on Libsyn and also the Neil Haley Show syndicated all over the country. Again, same thing with Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface. It's amazing, the truth just below the surface as we are going through historic times, with the coronavirus having the largest amount of cases yesterday reported. And our guest today that Wynn's going to introduce in part two has the answer. He might be having to call the new president-elect if that will happen. And it will be a new process to get this whole HCQ debate out the door. Let's get this virus under control and go back to normal. So I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And our guest has such tremendous information. I'm looking forward to part two.
Thank you, Neil. Our guest today is Dr. Caxton O'Pair, and we've had him on four, five, six times previously. And I would strongly recommend that you go back and listen to his programs. Once you get to today's program, you can scroll backwards and pick up his other programs and listen to them. The book that we're going to be talking about that he just wrote and published is called The HCQ Debate. And subtitle is, What Did Researchers Hide About the Hydroxychloroquine COVID-19 Clinical Trials? And Dr. O'Pair, nice to have you on the program again.
And thanks for having me, Dr. Wynn, Neil.
So before we take up where we left off with your last program and get into a few more questions about your book, I wanted to get your advice on prophylactic treatment for COVID. In other words, what can a person take or do to keep from getting the virus? And I've got a number of things that I'd like for you to comment on. Zinc, quercetin. Vitamin C and vitamin D. Would you go over those, and if they are part of your recommendation prophylactic treatment, and all these things can be gotten over the counter, give our listeners an idea of what they can do to try to decrease their chance of getting the virus?
Sure. First thing is, everyone knows they're too busy to take care of their health until something happens. So the first thing I would say is, nutritionally, you've got to be sound. This virus is like a scanner, a military spy that goes through everything in your body to see whether you're strong or weak. What does that mean? That means nutritionally, there's a battle that you can fight by getting yourself ready, having some nutrients, antioxidants, thiamine, zinc sulfate, quercetin, and those elements, vitamin D3. So vitamin C, I'll say, just give you the doses up front, 500 milligrams to a gram, 1,000 milligrams a day, at least take that. Zinc sulfate. Zinc is involved in so many processes in the body, over 1,000 of them in terms of enzymatic actions in diabetes control. So I'd say zinc sulfate is also important, not just for general things and vitamin C for general things, but for specifics. Zinc sulfate, 220 milligrams. You get that over the counter. So you've got two now. Then quercetin is also a co-nutrient in many of the enzyme processes. Quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, 500 milligrams once a day or twice a day. Those things are involved in the enzymatic processes that boost the immune system. So I'll say that I'm board certified as an internist. I've never even considered nutrition as a go-to strategy for infection prevention. I just felt if you eat normally, you know, you'll just get what you need. But there's a guy that wrote a paper on the nutritional and oxidative strategies. He wrote a study on 107 patients. I don't know whether you remember that study. 107 people in his COVID study, 100% cure rate. And the Federal Trade Commission descended on him. We'll go to that later if there's any time, but there's some things you can do. So zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D3. And a lot of clinicians, even pulmonologists, critical care physicians, for example, at the East Virginia Medical School, they use this as parts of their protocol for preventing infection. So I'm not talking PPE. I'm talking things you can do internally for your body to boost your immune system, to rest well, to sleep well. If you add those two, rest, sleep, and stay focused and eat well, avoid all this unnecessary mental drama that we play in our heads, you're probably going to be about maybe 70, 80% ahead of everybody else who's doing nothing, doesn't believe in the virus, and it may end up dead.
Okay, so let's go back to two of them. Quercetin, is that recommended by you, or is that just something that...
It wasn't recommended by me. There's there's something called the Mass Plus Protocol. These are actual physicians who are treating COVID patients in the midst of the pandemic, came up with a formula for treating and prophylaxis of COVID. You'll never hear Fauci say this. You never hear CDC say this. But not only is this is a world famous protocol, by the way. So that beats me why someone who's put in charge of the healthcare system of America, knowing we have this high COVID rates, has never mentioned any of this. The CDC doesn't mention them. At least they've not mentioned it for about 9 months. And these are effective therapies because you find out that the big pharmaceutical companies have deceived not just doctors, but the entire world, that once you have something going on with you, like a linear relationship, the cure for that thing is one pill. And that's the greatest deception. The human body is not a linear machine. It's a whole integrated, holistic machine that can be affected by not just linear things, but multidimensional factors. For example, blood pressure. If your blood pressure goes up, you have pain. Your blood pressure may go up if you're accumulating salts, and just one dose of a diuretic, for example, can flush out all that stuff. So yes, some people recommended this. They use it. It's an established protocol, and you can Google EVMS COVID-19 protocol or Mass Plus protocols, and you'll see those things. I didn't come up with them, Neil. They're just fantastic things that nutritionally helps the immune system.
You know, so the first thing you need to do is take care of yourself, is what I'm hearing from you.
Yes.
So basically, by taking care of yourself is these different measures. But if you're not doing that and you could track the virus,
yes,
you need to act immediately, or if you even have been exposed to people who had the virus. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So yes, once you're exposed, now let's talk about some exposure. And let's look at the first. I think it's a key to the deception, which is one of the crimes I think is being committed here, right? So you're exposed. So once you're exposed, you need to do something. One of the somethings really is to take hydroxychloroquine and zinc with it. You can add Zithromax, but I really won't bother. I won't go that far. The reason is simple. As deadly as COVID coronavirus infection is, it's still an organism. It's still got a method. And through that method, you can attack it and deal with it effectively. Okay? Which means I'm exposed. What do I do? And that CDC and those people, I think, they are just horrible. The NIH, equally horrible, because in conjunction with the FDA, when you look at the brief two-month period during which they allowed hydroxychloroquine to be used, they were very clear. They were very specific. They said, do not use it in outpatients. Do not use it in XYZ. Only use it in patients who are hospitalized. And you can always go back to that document and you'll see clearly. Now, what do you really do when you're exposed to COVID-19? What you do is that you take hydroxychloroquine. So the first part of the deception is that the FDA, in conjunction with the CDC and the NIH, said, do not give it to outpatients. Only give it to the hospitalized patient. Now, that's exactly wrong. If it's not criminal, I don't know what else is. It may not have been criminal, but I think it is. Secondly, when Fauci and all these people decided we are going to let people die, because you cannot, when you look at the scientific data, not agree with me that this folk wanted many people to die. When you take hydroxychloroquine, it not only blocks the virus from attaching to your cells and entering into those cells. It reduces inflammation. These are established mechanisms, Dr. Anderson, Neil, you know, and once you know that, okay, this is how this drug works. So therefore, what do? We've got to use it when we know it may be effective, but they didn't do that. So you take the hydroxychloroquine right there. The question is, how much should I take? NIH, Fauci, she'll be able to answer that question, but they avoided doing studies that will help confirm how much or how long. First thing, for me, when you get exposed, you take 400 milligrams once a day or twice a day, or just go through the FDA regimen, which is 400 milligrams now, 400 milligrams in 12 hours, and then 400 milligrams once a day for another 4 days, making a total of 5 days. The reason for that is simple. You may not even need that much of a dose. But since this folk who was supposed to do the research refused, totally abandoned the healthcare of the people of this nation, who was supposed to do this research, refused to do any such research. That's why we have this blank. Now, if that was all they did by being silent, maybe while other doctors are prescribing hydroxychloroquine and getting results, and they were publishing or announcing, even if not publishing those results, maybe that would have been fine. But these guys decided to witch hunt and also to now publish papers that are deceptive. I'm going to mention one of them because CNN, like I said, I've mentioned that study so many times. It's annoying me Googling and seeing that study and saying, why on earth are they still doing this? So one of the things they did was the goal is to smear hydroxychloroquine because it's going to prevent them from making a lot of money and controlling the world the way they plan to control it. It's pretty obvious. It's getting more and more obvious. So the Boulware study, it was done in June. It published in June of this year in the New York.
Thanks, Tim. Yes. Can we get to the study in a minute? I want to drill down on the question that I was talking about.
Yes.
If you just give me some short answers.
Okay.
You said zinc, 220 milligrams. At my pharmacy, they only have 50 milligrams.
No. It's the same. See, you will see zinc 50 milligrams. That's the elemental zinc. So some people call it zinc sulfate or zinc. So when you see zinc, you look at the label, zinc must be compounded with something else. So it will be 50 milligrams of zinc. And some labels will say 220 milligrams of zinc. Some will say 50 milligrams of zinc. Just look at the label. The label will say exactly. So it's either zinc sulfate, which has 50 milligrams of elemental zinc, or they will say zinc, and it will say just zinc, 50 milligrams. It's probably the same.
Okay, so you're talking about zinc, 50 milligrams.
Yes.
Do you any better to take 100? Is it unsafe to take 100, or should you just stick with a 50 milligram dose?
Look, I would take, if you're exposed, 100 milligrams of zinc. Some will even double on that dose. It's just for a brief period, about 5 to 7 days. It's not going to hurt. So 50 to 100 milligrams following exposure, hydroxychloroquine with it following exposure for those 5 days, you will do fine. And now you can, if you cannot get hydroxychloroquine and you have quercetin, you can take 500 milligrams of the quercetin. And I'll explain, it's a very simple process. The quercetin allows the zinc to penetrate inside your cell. Once the zinc gets inside your cell, remember, hydroxychloroquine blocks the virus from attaching and prevents it from being released, even if it's inside your cell. It creates an environment, so it's not released. But if, for whatever reason, you didn't take it early or quickly enough and the virus is now inside your cell, zinc prevents the cell from multiplying over and over to cause the symptoms and the crashing of the patient. That's what we call it clinically. So by taking quercetin, zinc has a hard time getting inside your cells. Hydroxychloroquine and quercetin individually will allow they call them ionophore, will allow zinc to penetrate into your cell. So it's almost like tripling or quadrupling the concentration of zinc inside your cell so it can destroy the virus and its effect on your body.
Okay, so most people in the country cannot get their hands on hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
Only a few doctors that I know that are able, because their state authorities don't crash down on them, to have patients get a prescription for hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
Unless you happen to be in a state where you can get it, which is very limited, you recommend quercetin.
Yes. So yes. Absolutely.
500 milligrams for how many days after exposure?
Twice a day for 7 days, I'd say.
So for that drug that Wynn just discussed,
yes.
What's the effect in this compared to HCQ?
See, HCQ does a couple of things. This one does only one thing, really. It serves as a transporter system to carry the zinc into your cell. Hydroxychloroquine also serves as a transporter system to carry zinc into your cells. Zinc is what blocks the enzyme that enables the virus to multiply itself. So whether it's hydroxychloroquine or it's quercetin mixed or combined with zinc, zinc is the ultimate killer for the virus, so to say.
So let me get your opinion.
Yes.
Should everybody in the country be taking 50 milligrams of zinc prophylactically until the COVID virus problem is over with?
Well, yes and no. Yes is a simple answer, because by the time you've taken this thing for 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, maybe you've boosted your immune system enough with the vitamin C, zinc, and then if you ever come into contact with the virus, you invariably are pretty much ready to fight that viral infection to the point that you may not even have more than a common cold or may not even have any symptoms because the zinc's already in the system in sufficient quantities. Here's the funny thing. You never hear about this. Now, you know, in my own position as a practicing physician, I'm not a researcher of COVID per se. The people who have the test tubes and all the human tissue and all the samples are the ones who are supposed to actually be telling us. They're supposed to be telling us all these things, and they're not. They're just mute. In other words, knowing that by being silent, people would die, I don't know, guys. Shouldn't that be a crime? I think it is. Yes, take zinc. Take the vitamin C. Your body will be ready for whatever comes its way. You may not even notice. And one of my propositions is, when we give hydroxychloroquine to some people, or rather, when some people are exposed to COVID-19 and they don't show symptoms, if the NIH was really a very, very honest and truthful agency, one of the studies they would have been doing by now was evaluation of zinc levels in asymptomatic coronavirus patients. It's simple. You just draw a lab, draw it from their wrist or wherever you draw it from, and check to see whether after exposing people to coronavirus, which they've done in some few studies, some sham studies, then check their zinc levels. You know, you may find out that the zinc levels in patients who are asymptomatic are actually high, or that as the zinc levels drop, the symptom or the number of different symptoms or the severity of the different symptoms increases. And that would be awesome. But these guys, in my opinion, are wicked because they don't want any doctor, no matter how well or creatively you can think about trying to solve this problem, they don't want anybody to have any clue. And you can't dispute that.
Okay. So let me summarize.
Yeah.
You tell me if I'm wrong and correct me.
All right. And
prophylactic treatment.
Yes.
Treatment that any normal human being that doesn't have additional problems could take.
Yes.
Include zinc at 50 to 100, is it milligrams?
Milligrams, yes.
Okay. Secondly, hydroxychloroquine, which you probably can't get, but yes, if you could, or quercetin, yes, about 500 milligrams for
twice a day or once a day.
Once a day. Vitamin C, maybe 2,000 milligrams per day.
I'd do 1,000 milligrams a day. When you 500 milligrams once or twice a day.
You do it well. Okay. And
some people use much higher doses, but I don't see much difference in taking it. I use 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams a day. I'm in the COVID unit. I'm 57 years old. I'm not, you know, 31, young, you know, I'm healthy, but, you know, and that's what I do. So the whole point of that is there should be a variation, and the variation is okay. So if you take 1,000 milligrams a day, you don't want super doses of vitamin C, and now find that nobody really takes enough vitamin C and that there are side effects from super doses, even though we've never really taken time to study it. The whole point is to stay in the middle of the road so you don't get side effects, and then give these people an opportunity to say, well, you're following the vitamin C code, now you're hurt, you know, you're injured, and they start doing all kinds of studies showing that it's actually hurting people. I know if you take 1,000 milligrams a day and you're not malnourished, you're probably pretty close to what you should take. So 2,000 a day, yes, it's okay. I won't even go that 4,000 milligrams, except you're sick in the hospital, you know, with COVID.
Okay. And the fourth thing is vitamin D3, which has studies that show that it's very important to have adequate vitamin D levels. Now, for a healthy adult,
yes,
starting at 10,000 international units a day, should, yes, boost your blood vitamin D over 40, I think. You can measure that either with a home kit or with your family doctor's test. But yes, you would like to get over 40, between 40 and 100. Now, is, yes, that your opinion too?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like I said, those are things that came from the EVMS and math protocol, you know, studies. And not just study, but protocols. And they've used that successfully. So, yeah, that's absolutely correct, Dr. Wayne.
Okay, so, wow. So, looking at all this,
yes,
what percent chance are you, will you not contract the coronavirus by doing all these measures of taking these supplements?
Well, there's no number. There's efficacy. In other words, these guys, there's one, the doctor that I mentioned that said he treated 107 COVID-19 positive patients, some of them real old, some of them young. He had 100% efficacy. So it's way high. The actual number outside of that study, they actually told him to pull down the study from his website, came to his clinic, attacked him. I mean, I'm talking the feds. And so you don't get the actual numbers, but you know they're crazy high, which means the virus, yes, it's deadly, just like driving without a seatbelt or having a car without an airbag is dangerous, right? But at the same time, if you drive, people die every day in car accidents. So you can still drive and you still drive safely. People die, you know, because they have a firearm, but people still have hundreds of guns and nothing happens to them. So it's really what you do with yourself. What do you do with yourself? Once you take those things, it drastically drops your likelihood of getting an infection. And if you do, of getting sick. And if you get sick, of being hospitalized. And if you get hospitalized, of dying. So, you know, it's a process. But these guys, they got the money. They need to fund the studies. The government has given the healthcare of its people into the hands of dangerous people who don't care who dies. That's a problem we're having. So I can't give an exact number on that, but you can see the process. Is you, as you boost your immune system, you're better able and equipped to fight an illness. Okay. And
Caxton,
yes.
I have interviewed some doctors, mostly in Texas, who have clinics treating patients close to 100% if treated very early on,
yes,
with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, yes, and zinc regimen.
Yes.
Are you saying that the feds have come into some of those doctors' offices and tried to shut them down from doing this?
Okay, so let's start with this gentleman. I think his name is Sylvester in California, 41-year-old gentleman who he created a package. Now, remember, medicine, if you have special knowledge, you can profit from your special knowledge. You can consult, you can do what you want. And what he did in April, he was arrested in April. I'll start with that one. Forgotten his name. Young guy, he was on TV, arrested. He created a package. And as we know, COVID is a contagious illness. So as a matter of fact, one of the things that you should be allowed to do, as long as there is no medical contraindication, is that if you have a treatment package for one family member, you could request the doctor write that treatment package for the entire family. I think it's a fine idea. It's a really sound, advanced idea, if you ask me. So if I have six adults in my house living with me, you know, four adults and my kids are in the guest house and, you know, we're all living in the same place. They work, they go to school, whatever they do. And I see my doctor, you know, just like you can write for a sexually transmitted disease, you can ask for Flagyl for your partner, you know, for something like Trichomonas. I think you should be allowed to write a package as a doctor for the entire family, as long as that entire family has a baseline record with you and a baseline risk assessment in terms of the actual side effects of the drug, like azithromycin and hydroxychloroquine together can do something to the heart. And as long as you as a doctor are willing to take responsibility for that liability, I think you should be allowed to write for an entire family, because when you write for one patient, the entire family is still at risk if they're actually positive. But what they did was they arrested this guy for, I think he sold a package with Zithromax, vitamin C, hydroxychloroquine, and zinc, Zithromax, vitamin C. And they arrested him for writing it for five people and called it mail fraud, because he wrote it for one person and it was a package and he charged $3,999 or something like that. Yeah, but he has the knowledge. And we're now coming back towards vitamin C and zinc today. But this guy wrote that in April. And some of you may have known this as way back then. But if a doctor comes up with a package and is selling that package, why should he be arrested? He was arrested in California.
It's terrible to look at that. But again, that's California. We know what California is, a different country. And our whole country might become California. But Dr. Caxton, when listening to what you're saying, that the process is you really have to, as a patient, as a person, fight and find the right doctor that will treat you for this disease.
Absolutely.
And that's difficult. I checked my county and I think I checked 38 doctors and not a one of them would consider hydroxy.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I remember you saying that, Dr. Wayne. Remember about 2 months ago, September or so. Oh, yeah.
So it's not likely that you could pick up the phone and get a prescription for hydroxychloroquine, because the other side, the liberal part of the dialogue that doesn't want us to get over this coronavirus, has come out and changed the way that the doctors are thinking, and they're scared.
Yes.
They're scared. Now, I want to ask you, Jackson, do you have on your website a package, not that you're selling, but that people can get cheaply at their drugstore over the counter, with the zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D recommendations, so that if they forget what we're talking about today, they can go over there and see what they need to take into the pharmacy to get?
You know, the first book I wrote before I started looking at the rest of the nutritional supplements is free on my website. I have not updated the book. I should have put the vitamin C, zinc, and all that stuff on there. But in this hydroxychloroquine debate, at the back of the book, I have what's called like an author's trailer. I've never done that before. I call it the author's trailer. And there, all the doses, the ones I can use when I consult with people, when I'm in the ER, and the amount of zinc you can take, how long if you're exposed, how long if you're treating it, so that even doctors can go to the back of the book, the appendix section, and look at the actual doses for zinc, for quercetin, for vitamin C, for vitamin D, for prophylaxis, for treatment. All those are at the back of the book, The Hydroxychloroquine Debate, which I said is on Amazon.com at this point. So they can find it. It's not on my website, but it's on the inside the book, and they can get the book on Amazon very easily.
So to make it easy for a large number of people in the country,
yes,
would you have the time to put these specific four medicines on your website where they can just click on it and got it written down and everything? Do you have time to do that?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to find my IT guy's email. And once I do, I wanted him to actually do something.
That's why the greatest thing in the world, Dr. Caxton, is us meeting. Because we have the PR team and the IT team to take care of things in 24 hours.
Okay. Anyway,
so we'll look at all those things down the line for sure if we're going to work together. So I'm excited about really partnering with organizations and great causes like Dr. Caxton, because we cannot be hidden. And this is a worldwide thing. The last thing we were talking about on the phone is, this is a worldwide show. We have a huge listening base in Canada. We have a huge listening base in India, all over the world. So the point I want to make in this, Dr. Caxton, is that they too can push for HCQ as well, treatment and trying these things, right?
Yes.
Everyone is going through it right now.
Well, in many countries across the world, you can just go into your drugstore and over the counter
get
hydroxychloroquine without a prescription. It's just America that's making it so tough on that particular drug. But anyway, the two of you get together. Let's get a specific recommendation for cheap over-the-counter medicines, which will protect you. And we'll go on now. The second thing in your book that I wanted to talk about was you talked about the HCQ smear campaign. I think it's chapter 4. It might be a different chapter. Would you tell us what that is and the significance of it?
It's chapter 6, and it's a very interesting concept. You see, when we all knew this is a plandemic, when you look at all the numbers, when you look at all the strategies from Bill Gates paying the Pubright Institute twice for different reasons that don't make sense. But when you see the way the Rockefeller Foundation came into the scene, I didn't even think of that. So with everything put together, Neil, they start using, instead of saying their plan, they don't say they are planning something. They call it scenarios. And I just felt that in this book, whatever I want to explain to people, I'm also going to call it a scenario. And in that scenario, the only thing that comes up so clearly is that this is a brilliant plan. The fact that doctors who have been practicing for decades are scared to write hydroxychloroquine, there must be a genius behind this process. The fact that doctors are even saying hydroxychloroquine is ineffective in COVID-19, even though there's all the data, all the research and all that stuff available in the research papers, there must be a genius behind it. That's why I came about the hydroxychloroquine smear campaign. And one of the things, Neil, I said is this: if you were a human being, hydroxychloroquine, by now you will have committed suicide or be in a psychiatric ward trying to kill yourself, because hydroxychloroquine has been smeared so badly that we have to look back and step back and look at if someone intended to do a smear campaign on hydroxychloroquine, what would they have done? Let me go in my mind into the evil genius who said, we want to make $4.3 trillion from selling drugs and vaccines to people or governments. How can we make that money? The only thing standing in our way will be hydroxychloroquine, because it's cheap. So what do we do to get rid of hydroxychloroquine so that people are so scared of it and people don't even want to mention the word hydroxychloroquine, particularly their doctors? That's how I came about writing that chapter called The Hydroxychloroquine Smear Campaign. And it's the story of the KGB, the experts at brainwashing, the Communist Chinese Party are experts at brainwashing. So in the scenario that I created, and God forbid, somebody might come forward and say, we were that people. The KGB former agent who was involved with Boris, Mikhail Gorbachev and all these other people going backwards, Brezhnev, they hired this guy, a big pharmaceutical company in the US, hired this fictitious character called Boris Chayenko and invited him, paid him a lot of money and told him, we want to destroy hydroxychloroquine because it's standing in our way of making money. And if people can take hydroxychloroquine, if they get off of the plane and they're exposed to COVID, they're not going to be afraid. We need the fear, and we also want to make money. And the fear is going to even help us make far more money than we can even dream of. How can you help us? So it created this fictitious character, created the 17-point Chayenko plan. What I want you to notice is if around the world you ask anybody this one question, who do you think, which celebrity, hated or loved, dead or alive, is attached to hydroxychloroquine? I guarantee you 90% or more will say Donald Trump, you know, at least before the election. They will have said it's Donald Trump. And the reason is simple. The Chayenko plan, the number one thing, the first thing that they wanted to do is, I'll read that to you, hook hydroxychloroquine through the media to a hated celebrity or personality, whether dead or alive. And a hated celebrity or personality, dead or alive, that's Donald Trump. And it's a brainwashing technique where you anchor something to the minds of the people passively before they realize that's what's been done. That's what Hitler used to say that Jews are vermin, and they keep showing pictures of rats and attaching them to Jews and keep telling them that Jews are parasites and parasites are vermin and therefore Jews are vermin. And before you know it, the entire Nazi Germany began to see their own neighbors and their very good friends that they used to eat together at the table, meaning the Jews, started seeing them as the equivalent of rats, rodents, and parasites. And that's exactly what was done in step one of this smear campaign. And there's a whole lot more in that chapter, but it shows how doctors with this degree of intellect can still blindly, number one, refuse to prescribe hydroxychloroquine, knowing and not even thinking that if you look at all the research papers, somebody might still be able to sue you as a doctor, even though there's no standard of care.
Now, so because I honestly believe it's President Trump, because he had a stake in it, and they were willing to not allow to have a prophylactic to end the virus and do all these different things. There might be some changes, but again, I've heard from the bottom line, this is not going to be settled this election for a long time to come, because we're going to go to the Supreme Court and this probably won't be decided till December, and it'll be a lame ducks type of situation. So, but I believe that HCQ was attacked because of President Trump and Big Pharma. It was a mixture.
Oh, yes. They
probably would never say anything like you know, when you talked about other countries. Well, other countries still, even though they have this, doctors are not looking at prescribing that medication. It's available to them, but we need to get the information out because most lay people are not familiar in what drugs to use, Dr. Caxton, if you're even bringing up these supplements, right?
Yes. Now let's look a little bit at different countries around the world. You know, there is a study that I looked at. It was looking at the population density in New York, comparing it to the population density in Lagos, which is the most populous city in the whole of Nigeria. Nigeria's got about 200 million people, but I think in Lagos, there's about 37 million people, some ridiculous number. And he said that it doesn't make any sense that we don't have a healthcare system that really works well. We have got about 1/5 or 1/6 the population density of New York, which is crazy high in New York, but you see some homes, they got 20, 30, 40 people living in one small house. When they come out in the morning, you see them through cameras. So if 30, 40 people are coming from that house in the morning, in New York, even though it's densely populated, they have all these skyscrapers, people live in high-rise buildings and all that stuff, far more, better housing. And the infection rate in Nigeria is 0.1% of the infection and death rate of COVID in New York. Makes no sense. And the only thing that's there is, number one, there is hydroxychloroquine and there's chloroquine. And he said the difference is clearly only due to one factor, because these people are not even socially distancing themselves like we still do in the US. They're throwing parties. They wear masks every now and then, but it's not like before. And people are not dying, not because they're not publicizing it, but because we have people here going from the US to Lagos, leaving, coming back, spending 2-3 days there, etc. At the airport, you wear mask and all that stuff. But in the city of Lagos itself, as densely populated as it is, the death rate in New York is about 500 to 600 times that of Lagos. He said there is absolutely no scientific explanation for that, because Nigerians also die of COVID. They're exposed to it. So hydroxychloroquine becomes a major factor. And there are other countries where they're using ivermectin and doxycycline and a few other things. But hydroxychloroquine stands in the way of everything that they hoped to accomplish. And so ends the spear campaign.
So, Caxton, your book is called the HCQ Debate.
Yes.
And tell the people how they can get a copy, because it's very important that they understand the principles, the scientific studies that you've gone through, and understand what they need to know about hydroxychloroquine and COVID. Tell us how they get that book.
Sure. You can go to Amazon.com. The HCQ Debate on Amazon.com. Just type in Caxton O'Perry, HCQ or HCQ or the HCQ Debate on Amazon.com. You'll be able to pull up the book. It's got the Kindle version. It's got the hard copy. And it's very simple. You'll get a lot of information from the book. As a doctor, I recommend it. Like I said, it's for doctors, journalists, anyone who really wants to have firsthand information without being left in the dark with the deceptive clinical trials that are done. You can get that book. And if you read that book, you're going to be more informed, more confident. And if you're taking anything or want to take something to help yourself or prescribe it, either way, whether you're a doctor, healthcare professional, or just a lay person, your confidence levels will rise, your fear will drop, you'll feel comfortable with whatever you're already doing about preventing yourself getting infection from COVID-19.
Okay, the book is called The HCQ Debate, and you spell Dr. O'Pear's name, Caxton, C-A-X-T-O-N, then O-P-E-R-E, M-D. And using that title and name, you ought to be able to come up with the book, and I strongly recommend that you get a copy of it and learn more about this thing, because, you know, it's a pandemic. It's a problem, but it's not a problem that can't be solved.
Yes.
We've had people with all kinds of degrees in epidemiology and whatever that have said, if the people who regulate doctors would let them prescribe hydroxychloroquine whenever they thought it was necessary, we would be done with a pandemic in 30 days.
Yes.
But that ain't going to happen, you know?
Absolutely.
So we appreciate you coming on for the syndication opportunity. Looking forward to be working more closely with you, Dr. Caxton. And I just believe in my own heart that you are doing the right service that for people, because we last yesterday had the largest cases of coronavirus. Yes. And there were, I think, 1,100 deaths in the United States yesterday. Yes. So what we have to do is we have to find ways to open up, but yet have treatment to keep the virus from not exploding. So I appreciate you being a part of this and look forward to many more opportunities to promote with you.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Okay, Wynn.
Okay. Yeah. So let me say in closing that I would like for you to have two links. They're both free. And the first is to the podcast, which will bring up this program first. And then you can scroll backwards to see 200 other programs. And it is www.4 freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no spaces, no capitalization. That'll take you right to the podcast. And secondly, my website is www.revwynhendersonmd.com. Go over there and find out more about how to cure yourself of any of 30 plus different addictive behaviors. And thanks for having me on the program today, Neil.
Oh, it's always fun. And we've gotten such huge feedback in India with these COVID opportunities. They really are enjoying it. Where Canada's got great. Thank you to our new syndicated partners in the UK. This is a worldwide organization, and we really appreciate providing that great information. But I really do want people to dig deep in the cities that are shutting down. I mean, the countries that are shutting down in Europe. Are they using HCQ? Because that's another debate for another time, and truth just below the surface. Appreciate it, Wynn. Appreciate it, Dr. Caxton. And take care, guys.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.